condition can be citta, cetasika, and rupa. Whatever is real, it's condition. For example, the eye sense, the eye base, is a condition for seeing right now. It is rupa. You cannot experience anything, but it arises. Kamma, see. Without kamma, the eye sense cannot arise at all. And who knows, someone does not have the eye base at all by kamma. No seeing in that person's life. And that's why condition is real. Otherwise it cannot be conditioned. But what condition what? Citta condition jetasikas and jetasikas arise together with citta. So that is condition for them to arise together. They cannot arise apart. Wherever citta, there must be jetasikas, depending on what kind of citta, how many jetasikas are there arising together. So whatever is any dhamma is conditioned by being different conditions. For example, the rupa cannot experience anything, but it is conditioned for citta to arise to experience it. So it is aramana paccaya, because the word for aramana is that which is experienced, no matter what, the seeing, the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, the touching, the thinking. Citta experienced that. So that is the paccaya for citta to arise to experience as being aramana paccaya. So everything can be aramana paccaya at moment when citta experiences it. So is sound paccaya? Sound.
Yes.
As?
Yes.
What?
Aramana paccaya.
No doubt. Learn to understand the truth little by little, not all together at once, because the explanation is quite very subtle. That's why learn to understand what is there now appearing little by little. For example, what is experience, condition citta for arise. For example, that which impinges on the eye base can condition only seeing moment to arise by way of being paccaya for seeing. That's why there can be more confidence of the truth. Whatever arises must be conditioned by such and such condition. Not only one condition, because just the eye base cannot condition seeing, but it has to have that which impinges on it. Only visible object can impinge on the eye base. That's why Dhamma is Dhamma. No one can make it arise, no one can control it. It's by conditions, whatever is there, even right understanding. Without hearing and without considering enough, there can never be more and more understanding of just what is there now. See, before hearing the truth about seeing, no understanding of seeing is I all the time. But after hearing about the truth, whatever arises needs right and proper condition for its arising. So at moment of seeing, it does need the ear base to condition it, but just the eye and that which impinges on the eye. The moment of seeing is there by conditions. So where's the eye? No one. And where's no pain or anything? Because what is seen, just that which is the reality, one reality only, which can be seen among all other realities. Just close one's eyes, see, nothing appears. Open one's eyes, so many different things. So many different moments of seeing, unknown, that is now, uncountable seeing. And that is so subtle, that's the enlightenment of the Buddha. After hearing, considering and understanding, respect him more, a little more. Otherwise, how can there be the understanding of the truth of this moment? No one, just a moment of seeing. And now experiencing what is there in this world only. Forget about the past. The future hasn't come yet. So what is there is just the world of this world. At moment of seeing, the world of seeing, the world of shape and form and things and the idea. And at moment of sound, imagine the truth. Nothing is there, only sound and that which hears. Consider the truth that is so very subtle. Nobody can change to have two moments experiencing objects. Just consider the truth until there is more and more understanding, little by little. This life is not enough to develop right understanding, because ignorance is there, follow each moment of experiencing through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Every moment is I. When there's ignorance, nothing is there at all, and then there is seeing. So at moment of seeing, there is only seeing and that which is seeing. Consider just one moment. And when there's no one around, the moment of seeing is I see. So any moment of experiencing anything, there is the idea of I. Attachment, like or dislike, is real. I like it. But if that which is attached to that object does not arise at all, how can there be attachment? So all depends on conditions for whatever arises. That's why hearing the words of the Buddha, carefully consider the truth is the truth, never be changed. So it's so very subtle to understand only seeing. That's why there are many degrees of understanding. Now hearing about the truth is intellectual understanding, but it can be more and more understanding from hearing again and again, consider it again and again, until right understanding is sharp enough to understand how much understanding of seeing right now. Even we heard about it a lot, but it does not appear as only seeing and that which is seen. No thing, no people at all. Imagine the great wisdom of the Buddha. And he taught about the truth 45 years from the very beginning to the end, three rounds of the Ariya Satta. So what is understanding?
What is just understanding?
What is understanding itself?
Which?
The understanding itself, not the other reality. What is understanding?
I have no understanding.
What is understanding?
Samajh kya hai? No. Samajh kya hai, samajh.
What is the characteristic of understanding? What is the nature of understanding? It's a chetasika, but Lola is also a chetasika. Yes, panya is a word, but what is the characteristic of understanding?
If you say chetasika, then I ask, what is chetasika?
Chetasika nama. Experience same object and arise. Chitta and Jessica together.
Why is Nama?
Nama reality. Who experience objects.
So understanding is Nama.
Yes.
Is it Chitta?
No.
Chetasika.
Yes.
Can it see?
No.
Can it experience the object which is seen? That's true.
Yes.
See, to understand the differences between citta and chetasika, firmer and firmer. Because now, at moment when anger appears, it can be known, but it's I. See, no understanding of anger. That's why understanding is a reality which now understands that which is heard, depending on what levels of understanding. Is cetasika, or right understanding, arises and falls away? Everyone says, yes. But what about now? It does not appear as it is yet. That's why the truth is so very subtle. It has to be considered carefully that this is only hearing about the truth, to begin to understand the truth, to have confidence of the truth that actually there's no one at all. Little by little, the understanding of the truth, not the word, can condition a moment of letting go. And this is sammatiti, right understanding of the Eightfold Path. Not just concentrate on breath or anything at all. Right now, there can be understanding at moment of hearing about what is there, little by little.
I'd like to ask, is it learn? Learn? I'd like to ask if you have any interest in following your practice now, or going on retreat now, or meditating now.
Yes, thank you, Sarah, for your question. Yes, because of the after listening to you, Achan and John, then I recognize that the increase of the understanding and reality is not going to retreatment or going to the mountain or some quiet place at all. It's the moment that we understand that what is the realities of the Dharma is the one. Thank you very much.
So I think that this understanding will completely change your life, because no need to keep going on these retreats, no need to take 1 hour in the morning and in the evening to focus on breath or any object, and can live easily and naturally and discuss Dharma with friends, listen to Dharma, consider carefully, and understand a little more about Dharmas as anatta. And you look much more cheerful than a few days ago. Nothing yes. to worry about, because daily life just runs easily, whatever yes. reality there can be understanding.
Yes.
This is the joy of letting go when there's a little more understanding. Someone asked about letting go by how to let go of attachment, not by focusing, not by concentrating on breath, but by understanding naturally there's more letting go.
Yes.
So
yes.
understanding is with joy.
Yes. Before, like the day that I attend in Saigon, the conversation about. So by the time that putting the question to three of you, then I still at that moment I still think that must be focused on the breathings, and sometimes take the time for retreatment for 7 days or 10 days on that. And then after listening to you one little by little, and then up in the afternoon, in the evening, when I'm back home and open your YouTube again and listen again and again. So now I have confidently and certainly know that we have to increase the understanding about the Dharma and what is realities. Yeah, now. Thank you very much, and with a very big gratitude to you and Achan and John. Thank you.
And from our point of view, if only one person can really appreciate a little more about the truth and be saved from all the years and years and lifetimes of wrong practice, it's worthwhile to come and share. So,
yes.
We appreciate your interest and understanding.
Honestly, my master, my first master, that the one who is the Ajahn student, I think you know him, he's Giới Tông. Yeah, Giới Tông, Bhikkhu. Yeah. He's a Bhikkhu. The one that the listening, just the listening, the seeing,
the
seeing.
We always appreciated his interest and his manner very much. Yes. So if you have contact, please give our best regards. Yes.
And ma'am, also one thing about this, about Luang. Yesterday in the evening, I was discussing the Dhamma with him inside the car. She was different, and right now what she's telling, it's explaining here about the Dhamma, about the Jhan, it's with the more understanding. It's totally changed.
Thank you.
Of course, there will be thinking and doubts and for wrong understanding, wrong practice, because it's so deeply rooted. But beginning to appreciate what is right, beginning to understand that if Dhamma is anatta, no one to practice, no one to do anything. So forget completely about ideas of practice, doing, focusing on an object in order to understand.
Yeah, very deep root is that before I always say that I do the more meditation and more concentrating on the everything and come back to 10 days or 7 days. It's very, very deep root of that. That is a little bit, a lot of breadth of that định kiến.
Wrong view.
Cái định kiến là cái định kiến sâu
wrong understanding.
Maturity. Yes. Thank you.
Is there mitra titi right now?
Maybe I will know because of some, I have not confidence that every moment that I will be understanding realities, I have to practice, I have to more increase the understanding about the reality, the Dhamma. Yeah. That the more I'm considering carefully, is the more that I let go the
And the how many kinds are there, Michatiti?
I don't know.
Going to meditation.
Yes, one of it. It's one of it. So many.
Even intention to try to understand what is there now is wrong.
It's wrong, yes.
Attanutiti.
It's more attached to the one of the things. Attached to the attention.
Degrees of wrong understanding.
Can you elaborate more about attanutiti?
Okay, is that a rose?
Yes, please. Attanutiti, yeah.
This is Attanutiti.
So, Sakaya Ditti, my arm, my leg, my body, this is Sakaya Ditti concerning oneself. Attanutiti includes Sakaya Ditti, but also something seen here, a glass, table, other people here, broader, all ideas of someone and something.
So, Kunsara is there. Atta Nutiti, I am here. Sakaya Ditti, what is taken for I, the same. Atta, but that which is taken for I is Sakaya, belong to me, it's me.
Something out there. Atanuditi.
Remember, it's Atanu, yeah? Atanu.
Atanuditi. Like Atta. Atta.
It means self.
Yes, but Atanupadana, yes.
Sakkayatite and Atanutite is eradicated by Sotapanna only.
Exactly the same, wrong understanding, taking whatever is there as something. But it's over there, not me. It's Atanutiti. But this is me, not there. It's Sakkaya.
If there is Sakkaya Ditti, there will be Atta Ditti, and so eradicated at the same time. Other beings, other gods, chairs, tables.
And how about Sailapata Paramasa?
What is it?
Sailapsara, Sailapata Paramasa.
Sailapata Paramasa, yes. So this is referring to wrong practice. Yes, yes. Yes. Or focusing on an object right now in the Dhamma discussion, trying to be aware now, Silabhata Paramasa. Not just go to the meditation center, much more subtle. So it's also wrong view, conditioned. Such trying,
can
such behavior.
Is someone who have like five precept, five sila? Is someone who have five sila and cling to the sila or eight sila? Does it Sailapata Paramasa?
We have to discuss then what is sila, what does it mean to have five sila, what does it mean to have eight sila, at what moment, because, and what is Sailapata Paramasa? Like now, what is sila?
Sila is the process of citta and cetasika, naturally.
Process? How many cittas at a time?
Once per time.
Okay, so when is it sila? What is sila?
It's natural of citta and cetasika. It's naturally in daily life.
What about at this moment of seeing? It's very natural seeing now, seeing citta and cetasikas. Is it sila?
It can be sila. It's seeing it, you can say it's a vipaka sila, apayakata.
Abhyakata sila, vipaka sila.
Apayakata.
I never heard of vipaka sila before.
Because apayakata.
Abhyakata
sila, yeah.
It's apayakata.
Apayakata is not kusala, not akusala.
So, what is kusala dhamma, akusala dhamma, abhyakata dhamma?
It is dhamma.
Yes. Kusala dhamma. Abhyakata dhamma.
It is sila, citta.
And what is cetasika? Can it be kusala?
Yes.
So, what is kusala dhamma? This is to understand, not just to remember. Because what is kusala has to be that which experiences the object. So, kusala dhamma. Citta and cetasika, which is kusala. And akusala dhamma?
Is akusala.
And abhyakata dhamma?
Is none of the kusala.
What are they? See, just none is not enough. a little more understanding.
Kiriya citta.
So learn to understand one word at a time, clearer and clearer. We don't talk about kusala sila, akusala sila, and apiyakata sila. We just talk about kusala dhamma, akusala dhamma, and apiyakata dhamma. Otherwise, it's not clear. That's why there have to be clear understanding of each word. So what is the difference between kusala dhamma, akusala dhamma, and apiyakata dhamma? And kusala sila, akusala sila, and apiyakata sila.
Apiyakata refers to any dhamma that is not kusala or akusala dhamma. So it means any citta, any cetasika, rupa, or even nibbana that are not kusala or akusala. So any rupa is also apiyakata dhamma. Yes, kriya citta's, vipaka citta's.
Why, when it's the truth, the reality, it has to be only that particular one. Never change. For example, citta cannot be cetasika. And what is kusala has to be kusala, depending on we are talking about kusala dhamma or kusala sila. Because sila is the behavior of citta.
Behavior.
Behavior. See?
So the kusala citta and kusala citta is different.
Kusala citta, kusala citta sika, and the behavior which is kusala. Because sila is the behavior of citta. The seeing cannot behave. It just arises to see. But kusala citta and akusala citta behave according to the degree of kusala and akusala. So what about that which is not kusala or akusala? Sila, the behavior of citta.
One citta at a time. So the citta and kusala or akusala, cetasikas that arise with it. It is about the behavior of citta. It is kusala sila or akusala sila. So we can't talk about abhyakata sila. And when you say a person has five sila, what does it mean?
It just means concept.
What does it mean? In terms of realities.
I mean clinging to the sila.
So why does one say a person has five silas if it's clinging?
Because it still have ditthi. Yeah.
You said earlier, when a person has five silas, do you have five silas?
I do.
What does it mean?
It's just jit and jitasik. It means kusula sila. It's just a kusula sila. It's no I have.
Is it kusala cittas all day? Do you have kusala cittas all day?
Impossible.
Right. So is it kusala sila all day?
No.
How long does kusala sila last for?
Most of life, in daily life, akusala more than kusala.
What about now? Is it kusala sila or akusala sila?
Kusala sila.
For how long? For the whole discussion or?
It arises and fell away quickly.
So it's just for a moment.
Yeah, just a
moment. Kusala sila, just for a moment.
Yeah.
What about if one never kills insects, but one often thinks about how annoying they are and wishes someone else will get rid of them? Is it kusala sila at those moments?
It's akusala.
So it's not the appearance, it's not the repetition about following silas. It's about this moment.
Yeah. Very short.
When we talk about the five sila, what are we referring to exactly? At what moment or time is there one of the five sila? Is there one of the five sila now? The answer is no, because when we refer to the five sila, we're referring to a moment of restraint from one of the kinds of agusala. And there is only restraint when there is the opportunity and the inclination to, say, kill a mosquito or to tell a lie. And if there is restraint from doing that, and if there is gusala restraint from doing that, then at that moment, and just for that moment of restraint, there is the observance of one of the five sila. So when we go through the ritual of taking the precepts, what is the reality of that? Is that gusala? There's not a clear answer to that, but it's certainly not, it's not observing sila at that moment for the reason I just mentioned. It is either a kusala resolve or it is a wishing and hoping. When there is an opportunity or a tendency, an inclination to tell a lie, there's no way to predict how one will react. So what is the point of taking the precepts in that formal manner? And at the moment of taking the precepts, is there really any consideration of the resolve that is being made? I just mention this because, as we've been saying all along, what is important is the reality of the present moment, not whether we would like to have more gusala, or we would like to be a five-sila person, or this or that, or we intend not to tell a lie. Those things are really not moments of gusala. The real test is when there is the opportunity and the temptation to do that. And no one can predict what the jitta will be at that moment.
So one thing I would just want to know, like the way the explanation, everybody can listen.
Yeah.
So the way, like you told about these five shilas, like taking the percepts or giving the percepts, it shows that taking or giving, whoever is there, he don't understand about the conditions.
It's not possible to know the mind of either the giver or the taker at those moments.
We can conventionally say that if somebody is thinking about the shila, are those the kusala moments?
Well, it's impossible to say, because the person may just be following his or her friends who are there, and the person may understand that it's not necessarily kusala to take the precepts, but they may do it just with other people who are doing it. And likewise, the person giving the precepts may have been asked to, would he mind doing that? So his or her understanding, one cannot know either. We can't tell an individual's mental state by their bodily or verbal acts.
But sir, it looks more like the sila bhattu paramarsha.
Well, it could be that. Right. It depends whether the person thinks what is being done will have any effect, particular effect or not. And probably each individual is different in what they are expecting to be the outcome of taking the precepts. So we can't assume anything. It's better just to understand for oneself what it is rather than to assume about the other person.
So it's a very unconventional question. Many of my friends ask this question, me in the India. Does this precepts was there at the time of Buddha? You have gone through a text, sir.
Again, please. Were the precepts taken at the time of the Buddha?
Buddha, right, sir. I don't know.
I believe I have read reference to that as a practice of lay people. On the holy days, they would go to the temple and they would observe 5 or 8 or 10 precepts. But whether there was a formal taking of the precepts, I couldn't say. Certainly, there was reference to lay followers observing precepts in the texts. But whether it was just observance or whether there was a taking of the precepts, I'm not sure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Do we have to think about what is there in the Buddha's time and what is there now?
No, ma'am.
The truth is the truth. So what is sila? See? What is dhamma? That's why there have to be the understanding of the meaning of each word. Kusala dhamma, akusala dhamma, abhyagata dhamma. Just talk about dhamma, all kinds of dhamma. But when we talk about sila, we talk about not all citta, but the citta which behave. Because without citta, there cannot be any behavior at all. That's why citta behave in wholesome way or unwholesome way, right? That's why there is kusala sila, akusala sila, and abhyagata sila. It's the behavior of citta by different conditions. So kusala sila is any moment of kusala moment. Sila, because sila is the behavior. So at moment of being kusala, it behaves in the kusala manners. Kusala sila, akusala sila. And when it does not produce or condition any result, it is abhyagata sila. So it's just the citta of arahata. No matter arahata eats or walks or whatever the behavior, is abhyagata sila. But when we talk about abhyagata dhamma, any reality, dhamma, which it cannot be kusala or akusala, like rupa, cannot be kusala or akusala, so it is abhyagata. And citta, when it's not kusala, when it's not akusala, it has to be abhyagata. And rupa, no time to be kusala or akusala, so it's just abhyagata. It cannot be kusala or akusala. That's why dhamma is dhamma. The kusala dhamma, citta and cittasika, akusala dhamma, citta and cittasika, and abhyagata dhamma. Rupa cannot be kusala or akusala. So whatever cannot be kusala or akusala, it is abhyagata. But the behavior is different. Any thought about kusala dhamma, akusala dhamma, and abhyagata dhamma, and the kusala sila, akusala sila, and abhyagata sila? The behavior which is not kusala or akusala. That's why it's the citta of arahata. Because no kusala citta anymore, no akusala cittasika anymore. So now when people say abhyagata sila, that is the understanding what it is. And abhyagata dhamma, different.
Because abhyagata dhammas include all the dhammas that are not kusala and akusala cittas, but abhyagata sila is referring only to the cittas, not rupas or nibbana.
What we take for a rose, what kind of dhamma?
kind of?
Dhamma. It cannot be Kusala Dhamma. It cannot be Akusala Dhamma. It is Abhayagata Dhamma. It cannot be Kusala or Akusala because it does not experience any object at all. So it is Abhayagata Dhamma. And what about Sila? Is it Abhayagata Sila?
It is not.
No behavior. It cannot do anything, Kusala or Akusala. And Arahata Citta?
Because you just mentioned about Kriya, so Kriya Cittas are Abhyakata Dhammas, and just the Kriya Cittas of the Arahat are Abhyakata Sila. Behavior of Cittas, because no more Kusala. Cittas. Not the Kriya Cittas we were talking today about, the Panchadwara Vajana, Manodwara Vajana, not those Kriya Cittas, just the Kriya Cittas of the Arahant. The Kriya Cittas that arise instead of Kusala.
Instead of Kusala. So is that in a Javana, is the so called Javana stage of the
mind
process?
Instead of Kusala Cittas and sense door.
Is this Abhyagata Dhamma or Abhyagata Sila? I see. It cannot behave. It does not experience the object. Can the one who is not Arahata have Abhyagata Sila?
Can the one who is not an arahat have Abhyagata Sila? No. Because it only refers to the Kriya Cittas.
Can the one who is not arahata have Kriya Citta?
No. The one who is not arahata.
Yes.
Ma'am, you asked the one who is not arahata.
Not arahata.
Can they have, do they have, are the Kriya Cittas now? Yes.
Yes. Ma'am, we are still confused with the question.
So Ajahn asked, first of all, do the arahats have Abhyagata Sila? And the answer is yes, because Kriya Cittas arise instead of Kusala Cittas. So no more Kusala Cittas, but Kriya Cittas arise with wholesome mental factors. And but before that, no, only Kusala or Akusala Cittas. But there are other kinds of Kriya Cittas that arise in a day which don't arise with wholesome factors, like the ones we talked about this afternoon, the adverting consciousness, for example. His favorite, the Panchadwara Vajana Citta and the Manodwara Vajana Citta. They're Kriya Cittas, but they don't arise with wholesome factors, sobhana chetasikas. So they are Abhyagata Dhammas, but not Abhyagata Sila.
So, can the one who is not Arahata have Abhyagata Sila? And the one who is not Arahata, can there be Abhyagata Dhamma?
Yes.
What moment? It does not experience any object. And Panchadwara, whatever is not Kusala and Akusala, but it has to behave, not just arise to perform its function, like Manodwara Vajana Citta and Panchadwara Vajana Citta. It is Kriya because it can experience either pleasant object or unpleasant object. That's why it's not vipaka, but it is kriya, but it's not apayagata sila. Because the sila has to be the behavior, the chavana moment, behave in such and such kusala or akusala. But arahata doesn't have kusala citta, akusala citta, so it's only apayagata sila, behave in apayagata manners. Even isopana is the same thing, being kind, compassionate, but no result. It's just the way it is conditioned to arise and falls away, not any wholesome or unwholesome root to condition the vipaka later. More understanding of what is there as not I. The point is that the more understanding of what it is, letting go the idea of self or I, gradually, by that very moment, nothing to be done to let go anymore, only understanding at that moment. There cannot be ignorance, attachment, or any akusala moment.
So you asked to hear more about sati, for example. So just now Ajahn was using the word sobhana. Sati is a sobhana chetasika. In English we call it a beautiful chetasika. Why do we call it a sobhana chetasika, not kusala chetasika? For example, in the context Ajahn was using sobhana chetasika for the arahat. So we have this broader term, sobhana, for all beautiful chetasikas. Panya is the sobhana chetasika. Hiri, otapa, aloba, adosa, amoha. They're all sobhana chetasikas. And the reason is that they arise not just with kusala chittas. Sati arises with all kusala chittas. Hiri and otapa arise of all kusala chittas, but they also arise with the kriya chittas of the arahat. These are not kusala chittas, so no kusala chittas or kusala chetasikas arise, but sobhana chetasikas arise with those kriya chittas. Also, as I mentioned this afternoon, when the patisandhi and bhavanga patisandhi citta is a result of good karma, then many sobhana chetasikas arise with it. That was why I said sobhana, not kusala. Sati arises with those bhavanga cittas. Other wholesome chetasikas arise, but actually they're sobhana. So we use this broader word, sobhana. It includes kusala, the kriya chittas of the arahat, and the vipaka chittas, which are not kusala or akusala because they're vipaka, but the results of kusala karma are accompanied by sobhana factors. So we begin to learn that a chetasika such as sati, it arises at every moment of kusala and continues arising with kriya chittas of the arahat, but even at these moments of bhavanga, it arises, and its function at any moment is guarding against akusala. Usually we are referring to the context of kusala chittas, but sati arises, it guards at those moments from akusala. So at moments of generosity or kindness, sati is arising at those moments, guarding. No one has sati. No one does sati. No one has so many satis. It's just a reality that arises by its conditions, performs its function. And when we're talking about the sati that arises with understanding of realities, it guards against unwholesomeness and is aware of the reality appearing. different from understanding. Without awareness, there cannot be understanding. Without understanding, there cannot be awareness of the reality. But it is understanding that is the leader. Without understanding, impossible to know what sati is or when sati arises. We just assume, like we assume we're keeping the five precepts. We assume we're having awareness because of listening carefully or going about our work carefully, but it's just for a moment with any wholesome citta and being aware of the reality just at moments of understanding.
And since we are now talking about sati, I'd like to go back to the discussion we were having the other day when we were discussing the characteristics of sati. We mentioned guarding, which Sarah has just mentioned, and also not being forgetful of the object in a gusala way. Something else about sati that came to my mind is that it has the function of holding the object steady for citta to experience or for panya to experience. The simile is given that otherwise the object would be bobbing about like a pumpkin in the water. Apilapana. We're talking about something that's happening in a momentary basis.
Very deep. I met some moments, two definitions came out. One was awareness, guardian, guarding, and now Sir told something.
Not wavering from. Yeah. Is there any topic in when we discuss the Dhamma that isn't deep?
Everything.
Everything is
ma'am,
deep.
Everything very deep, very deep. And we, I don't know about Asha, for myself, again and again I have to start.
It's like when Rit mentioned about having five sila, it seems so straightforward, but actually then we learn nothing is understood about sila or what it means to have sila, or we just think, oh, now I've undertaken not to kill or steal and so on, and now today I'm not killing or stealing, so I have five sila. Actually, it's meaningless.
Right, right. But ma'am, at the same time, Ajahn make very simple for us. She used the word behavior. It was like for us, people like us, it's easy to have that kind of a reference that what the word Sheila says.
It's the behavior of Chita.
Right.
For a moment now. So at this very moment, Kusala Chitas and Akusala Chitas. So there's Kusala Sila and Akusala Sila. Even now.
Right, right, right.
The behavior, the nature of citta.
Not the behavior of the person.
Not of the person.
So there are not any meaning about I have a five precept or eight precept. Just improve our understanding about the reality. So the precept already have during the moment of understanding about the reality at this moment. So I remember long times ago, Ajahn said, no need to say to everybody about how many precepts we can.
No need to announce it, no need to repeat, but the more understanding, then the greater the inclination not to harm, not to speak badly, and so on, by conditions. Like one may go to the temple and undertake, and then next day, who knows what will happen. So it comes back to the nature of the citta now.
Thank you.
And when one, for example, reads the Vinaya and one reflects on the value of different training rules, one can follow what one likes. But what's important is the nature of the citta, kusala sila. Like the Buddha said, when laying down all these rules, it comes back to the intention, like one may walk on insects and cockroaches and harm them, but no intention to harm. So it's always the same. It's not the outer behavior, it's the nature of citta.
One other comment about taking the precepts in a formal manner from the monk. Is there also in one's mind at that moment the idea that the monk is, by giving us the precepts, is also giving us extra ability to observe them?
Sir, repeat once again, sir, please. Giving us extra abilities.
Is there the idea in the mind of those taking the precepts that because it is a monk who is giving them the precepts, they are thereby going to have a better chance of properly observing the precepts? So they're receiving some kind of extra benefit from the monk.
It seems like, sir, listening paritta chanting.
Yes.
Yeah, almost right. Same.
It's the same as the idea that by reciting a mantra or paritta verse, that it will have power to help ward off. It will do the function of sati, at which the function that can only be performed by sati of guarding against agusala. Is it a common practice here to take the precepts?
We think within we'll keeping the sila, but the sila is just the moment by condition with the understanding at that moment only, and then another moment will arise, another condition it will arise, and then it's no sila that next moment at all. So would you please help us how to for some of that the silas of the killing or some things, and by the time it's not understanding well, with no consideration carefully, that with the akusala arising, thinking arising, so we will still confusing on that, because in the ways of recognize that understanding of that, we'll have some akusala bad thinkings about that. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I've understood, but let me ask you this. Killing a mosquito, for example.
Yes.
There's a mosquito lands on my body. I think of killing it, and then I refrain. That is the moment of restraint. If it's kusala, then it is observing sila for that moment.
Yes.
Is it necessary to take the precepts from a monk in order to understand the benefit of not killing the mosquito? Is it necessary to take the precepts from the monk in order to observe that precept?
No.
Is there any additional benefit in taking the precepts?
No.
Does that answer your question? It depends on one's understanding and one's accumulated tendency. Just because we appreciate the benefit of restraint, it doesn't mean that there will never be a time when we swat the mosquito.
Yeah.
It depends on our habit and how strong that habit is.
Yeah.
But we don't think that the most important thing is not killing mosquito. We appreciate the most important thing is developing understanding of reality. That's all. And we don't think, oh, I've committed kamapata. What will happen to me? I've done some bad karma, right? If we do kill a mosquito, the bad karma, what will happen to me? Not necessary to think like that.
Yeah.
Because in the past and in this lifetime, so much bad karma has been performed anyway.
Yes. By the conditions is that asking about the sila, that's why I can open the... Because a lot of truth that we learn from our master that keep for the five sila, eight sila, blah, blah, blah. The sila is very big things and after, yes.
And when we learn more about the nature of cheetahs, the behavior of cheetahs, we learn that even if we've gone to the temple and undertaken to follow five or eight precepts, what about all the akusala jitas now? When not liking the insects or being cross with our friends, and what about the unwholesome speech in a day? It all comes back to this very moment. I just see if Ajahn would like to add any more about this.
Yes.
Would you like to say any more about undertaking precepts?
Kusala sila or akusala sila? Only that.
We think about undertaking five precepts and eight precepts, but sila, as taught by the Buddha, is kusala or akusala sila now. So in terms of realities, what about now? What about at the temple? What about any time? Kusala or akusala sila? Otherwise, it's a big, long story about I undertaking precepts, but no understanding of what is kusala sila and what is akusala sila now.
Now, understanding. So by the time that understanding, we very carefully can consider it about the dhammas, everything is arise and falls away, try to win, and we'll, with the carefully understand that we'll not stop, we'll not taking any akusala, even in the mind.
No we taking.
Yes.
Just is the citta kusala now or akusala? When it's kusala, it's kusala sila. When it's akusala, it's akusala sila. No matter whether one has said, I will not kill, or anything else. Even when reciting about the five precepts, even when undertaking, it can be with akusala sila, like a child memorizing and repeating. So at that time, just like now, what kind of citta is there? That's all.
Yeah. Yes. By the time that the citta is there. Yeah.
Shall we consider a little more about sila, the behavior of citta and jitasika? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we talk about kusala citta or akusala citta. But when we talk about the five sila, everyone has akusala, right? Attachment, craving for something. But it's not the degree of ill intention to take the other's property to be oneself. Or the moment of dislike is not as strong as moment of wanting to kill or to harm. That's why talking about sila is a moment of strong akusala, which condition the ill deeds, because it will condition the result to be unwholesome result. At moment of seeing unpleasant object, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching the unpleasant object, these are all the result of akusala citta. At degree that it has done killing, stealing, and lying, and so on, see, which is dangerous. It harms the other, right? To take the other's thing, harming the feeling of the person. That's why the degree of unwholesome is only akusala citta. We like it so much, but we do not take it or steal at all. So there must be the intention, which is sila. Wrong intention is stealing, killing, and so on, because it conditioned the result. But at moment of just like it so much, but buy it or ask for it or do not take it when the owner does not give it away to us, different moments. So what is the akusala which hasn't reached the degree of ill deeds? is accumulated to be one's accumulation. But it depends on whether how strong it is to commit the deeds, like ill deeds, for example, which condition results for sure. So what is moment of unpleasant seeing conditioned by akusala kamma? And when we got so many pleasant things conditioned by kusala kamma, that's why there is kusala sila and akusala sila. But when it is the degree of harming the other, it is the degree that it will condition result. But if the deed hasn't been done, if the deeds hasn't been done yet, it just accumulated. Strong attachment for the other's possession. Sometime? Or none at all? In samsara. That's why seeing the danger of akusala, no matter what degree, because even just once is there, it's tainted the citta, it accumulates such akusala on and on and on to condition different accumulation, latent tendencies. That's why people are different. Some people is so good in dana, but not good in words. My conditions, they don't mind or care about the one who hear it, but just want to take harsh, just say harsh word or wrong, which is not wholesome, see. And such moment is accumulated, but it's not the degree of sila, five sila, see. But when the degree of five sila, according to word or speech, is very strong, akusala, which can condition result. That's why sometimes we hear the unpleasant sound. It's conditioned by breaking the sila. The deed has been done with very strong akusala, dosa, or very strong lopa. The sila is the intention. If there's no intention, but we step on the insect, very small insect, it's not panatipata, it's not the first akusala sila. So it depends on intention, whether it's there with intention or not. Just take the other's property or wealth or handkerchief or something like that. No intention to steal, because one thinks that it's for everyone, so one takes it. But when it belongs to someone, do you take it? It's not yours, it's someone, even handkerchief or tissue. That's why understanding the degree of akusala, which conditions such manners, deeds and speech, harm the others or not. That's why some people can say that harsh word very easily, but for someone, not at all. What is there? There must be the reality, the cetasika, which abstain from that through the deeds or the speech or the achieva. So it's akusala for sure, but what degree? Even it's so little, but it's wrong, see? Like in games, see, or sports, depending on kusala or akusala of the degree, whether it can do something which is so strong, deep, which can condition result.
And the taking of the precepts, it can be, as we read in the text, just by tradition, like we tell children, don't tell lies, don't kill, don't do this. And if you do, you'll get into trouble. So it can be just what one has been taught, what one has been trained, but no understanding. Or it can be with understanding of the harm, the danger of killing, speaking badly. Only when it's with understanding will it develop? Otherwise, if it's just by memory or just because one is told, one will get into trouble if one kills the mosquitoes, for example, then sooner or later it will happen again and again. It will be the harming. So it comes down to the understanding the danger of akusala even now.
So until sila visuddhi.
Until it's purified, yes, by understanding. Sila can only be purified by understanding, not by just reciting precepts and avoiding killing and stealing and so on.
That is intentional to kill now. But when time comes, who knows whether there is killing or not. That's why different moments, different jetasikas. When viriti jetasika, the reality which abstain from yudhis, doesn't rise, there can be a moment of killing. So it's not only intention before the moment which is the condition to be killing or no killing. It's just intention not to kill. But when time comes, it depends. That's why the word samadhana is the intention not to break the sila. Samadhana. So samadhana can be kusala or akusala.
Like an example I gave about all the children reciting the precepts, it can all be with akusala cheetahs just repeating what they've been told to repeat, but without any kusala sila involved. So it depends on the cheetah, those moments. So without understanding, no way of knowing at all.
Proper samadhana to rob, to steal, to get the others, proper procession.
Ma'am, use the word samadhana, samadhan. In Hindi, it seems like, if we do the Hindi or the English, it seems like a solution. Samadhana is a Hindi word also.
Samadhana or samadhana. Different words.
How can you put it in English?
Samadhan is a Hindi also. Samadhana. Okay. This is a place.
In the precept, it's samadhyami, isn't it? Sikkhapadam samadhyami. So what is the Pali word there? Sikkhapadam samadhyami. I what though? I.
No.
I undertake the training of not taking life.
Dhana is a place.
Can there be kusala samadhana? It can be kusala or akusala, depending on who's the person, the robber or the but who is.
क्या कुशला समाधाना हो सकता है तो मैंने कहा बिल्कुल हो सकता है कुशला अकुशला दोनों हो सकता है
to do or to follow the way or the path the traditions depending on the meaning of it so now what do you samadhan
ye कांड
to study Dhamma, samadhana, wholesome. Any moment, it just means the intention to follow such and such. So, do you samadhana to listen again?
Samadhana.
Only that?
No, more than that. Asha is saying that you use the word sila as an intention also. Intentionally.
Please give example.
Ma'am, I think she misunderstood the language.
That's why we cannot learn the Dhamma by in a dictionary,
yeah,
or Google. So now, is it clear about the word samadhana? No need to say out or speak out. It just wants intention any time. That's why any moment of intention not to kill, it is samadhana, not to kill. Do we have to tell anybody? Samadhana, sila, no need.
The undertaking to have the intention not to kill, not to steal. And it can be kusala sila or akusala sila. It might be lobha at that moment, wishing to be the one that never kills or steals. There can be clinging at that moment, or there could be ignorance, just repeating the words, or there could be kusala cittas, understanding the harm and the danger from taking the life of another. So it's the citta that is important, kusala or akusala sila at that moment, like this moment now. But the samadhana just means the undertaking.
That's why jetana or the deed is the kamma, not samadhana. To listen more. I do. You don't have to tell anyone.
Not to show off.
Like some monks, they samadhana tuttanka, 13th tuttanka, they don't need to say, oh, I'm samadhana, this tuttong, that tuttong. So, yeah, no need to say out.
And when these monks undertake to follow these dhutanga practices today, kusala or akusala sila?
I think it can be both.
It can be kusala, it can be akusala, kusala and akusala, right view, wrong view, wrong practice.
Yes.
They may think this is the way to have more understanding of realities.
Yeah.
So it's like following a practice.
Yeah. Or can be apayagata as well. Right. Like Brahmaha Kasapa have no kusala and akusala. But they
not
still...
Not today.
Right. Yeah.
Because a lot of wrong understanding about Dhutanga too.
Yeah. To show off a lot as well.
Not to show off, but because of thinking this is the way.
That's why we need to understand what is tuttanga.
And why we need to understand the nature of citta now. And what the path is. So Mahakasapa, for him, he was an arahat. His natural way of living was in the forest and no sleep necessary and rags and so on. What about the one today who decides to go to the forest and not sleep and wear rags? Any kusala cittas or wrong practice trying to imitate Mahakasapa? So it comes down to the understanding.
Why is the term dhutanga used? Well, I was just thinking that. I'm not sure of the literal meaning, but I think it indicates that it's difficult thing to do. Do and anger, a difficulty. It's difficult to do. That's my guess.
It also seems that someone who is only expertise in something, that is dhutang.
How do you mean expertise? One has to have the appropriate inclination or tendency. It's not something that can be done with kusala jitta if it means you have to force yourself to do it. The person who can live life in that way with kusala jitta is the person who can perform, if you like, their dhutanga. But as Sarah said, for someone who just thinks that it's kusala to put myself into an ordeal, to live a way that is not easy to do for that person, then it won't be kusala. I think people have the idea that by depriving themselves of comfort, that will help either to show up the agusala or to condition gusala. But that's not how it works.
I understand that the tutanka is meant to burn kilisa. Do you agree with this one? To burn kilisa. And actually it just...
I'm not sure whether... Is that an analysis of the term, tutanga? I don't see any reference to burning kilisa there.
The purpose of tutanga is to burn kilisa. That's what I'm, my understanding. And it depends on...
That's not how I understand it. That sounds more like a popular belief.
Sir, Mahakashyap is only one who is named Tutangidhari, not other.
The highest here. Yeah.
Etataka, etataka.
Many arahats as well as Mahakasapa who could live like that. And for those who could live like that naturally and joyfully, then the Buddha praised that way of life for those who could live like that. But for most people who even think of living like that, it's just a condition for a lot of kilesa, nothing kusala about it. So it's like even for those who become monks, if it's not the natural way, if it's a condition for a lot of worry and hardship and not following precepts, it's useless. And even more extremely to follow the dhutangas if it's not the way that comes very naturally for one to live in the forest and not sleep and wear rags and live alone. If it's not the natural way, then no use at all.
Yeah, everything for to the burn, the purpose to burn kilesa. Yeah, I see. Because...
But for any arahat, the kalesa have already been burnt out, completely destroyed, even for those who like Ananda or Sariputta who don't live that lifestyle. So it's according to accumulations.
Yeah, accumulation.
And for those that have those accumulations, very praiseworthy. But it doesn't mean that to burn the kalesa one needs to live like that.
No object impinges on the base at all. That's why it is for one that I can keep on being the result of the karma which hasn't ended yet, because it keeps on to be the personality of this person to the end of life, the last moment of Bhavanga, and as it's Bhavanga, it cannot perform the other's function. When it's Bhavanga, it performs the function of Bhavanga. That's why when it ends the function of Bhavanga, what is next is the end of karma, to be this person. So it is a citta conditioned by karma to arise, to perform the function of ending up this person. And as soon as it falls away, it conditions birth consciousness instantly. That's why there are many moments in between seeing and hearing. It can be death and birth of next life. No one knows at all. No matter we are afraid of death or got a very painful feeling before death, it's not moment of death. Because the moment of death is unknown. And the next moment, birth is unknown. So life is only after birth, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, only 6 days. While there are so many other realities in between, unknown. That's why we learn to understand what is there appear. That which does not appear cannot be known. That's why is that understanding the nature of citta, only one reality, from birth. While there are citta-sikas arising together, but without the chief of experiencing citta, there cannot be anywhere appearing at all. No matter taste or softness or hardness. Is this moment manasikara?
Yes.
See, learn to understand a moment, a moment. Manasikara is a citta-sika, arises together with citta, experiences the same object by way of its nature only and its function only. Like citta, experience the object by the way it is, its nature, its function. Does citta know the cetasikas which arise with it? See? Just arise together. And what is known now? Or what appears now? Now. Now is this moment. So what appears now? Learn to understand what is meant by reality. Not just the word, but the truth of that which is there different from moment to moment. At moment of hearing, what is there? Sound. Even there is hearing at that moment, but the reality which experiences sound never appear. Without attention, without learning to understand that it's there. Otherwise, if it's not there, there cannot be sound or anything appear at all. That's why when we come across the term citta vipassana satipatthana, what is meant? It's not known before, when there's no understanding, to condition awareness of its nature with right understanding. That's why even awareness is not just a term or the word, the God or whatever, but it's the moment, not forgetting with other cetasika, sanya, marks, and remember, and sati, not forget that it's there, it's right now, here, arising and falling away. So the word can just give the hint, some hint to understand the truth, but not all without considering carefully about that which happens now, by conditions now, seeing a moment, while there are moments before seeing and moments after seeing. That's why we come to the word vitti patipataka manasikara, because we understand what's meant by aramana patipataka manasikara, each moment. Because pati is just particularly, for example, patipati, the awareness of a particular reality. That's why vitti patipataka is different moment from other moment. It's different from moment of pavanga because it attends to that which is there at the doorway. But the first moment, which is not pavanga, cannot see. Just know what is there. What is that behind you? See? But it's not seeing. It just knows it's there. The book on the table is there. But it's not the moment of seeing the book on the table and so on. That's why the manasikara at moment of vitti citta, is the manasikara, which attend to the object of the first vitijita, to be the first moment of vitijita. At the moments of avanga, there cannot be just seeing suddenly, instantly, hearing, smelling. It needs the manasikara of the object which is there to condition to be viti, the first viti. One moment, not seeing yet. But manasikara is the aramana manasikara always, but at that particular moment, the moment that it conditions citta to avert to that object, because it attends at moment when it averts.
When you say it needs a manasikara to be the first viti, are you referring it to the chetasika manasikara? It needs the manasikara, or it needs that particular citta?
It is for sure, but what level? What moment? Never change its characteristic. That's why we talk about manasikara. We don't talk about any particular moment. Manasikara, chetasika, manasikara attends to any object at any moment, at any time. But we talk about viti patipataka manasikara. It's moment of something there. And manasikara attend to it to condition the particular moment which attend to that which is there.
But it's only the chetasika manasikara that has the function of
never
attending.
Change.
So then when we say the vitipadaka manasikara, which attends to the particular object, because we always say vitipadipadaka manasikara is the citta, but it's actually referring then to the chetasika with that particular citta, which attends at that particular moment. So it's a little bit of a misnomer to say it's the citta, because actually it's still the chetasika, but that particular manasikara with that particular citta attending to that particular object. Okay, that's...
To be the first vitijita.
Yeah.
So that was so very subtle.
And so why is that particular instance of manasikara chetasika single realm or coming?
Because it's that particular moment, that particular one, which after the bhavanga cittas interrupts the bhavanga cittas to attend to the particular object which is experienced for the first time in that sense door process.
If the sound is not that impinged on the ear base, what manasikara is there? Ordinary.
Just the manasikara, the bhavanga cittas.
Yeah. So but when we talk about the moment of adverting to the object which is there, we talk about the manasikara at that moment arising with the citta which advert. So the object is different from the object of bhavanga.
So rather than saying actually there is one is the chetasika that arises every moment and the other two are cittas, it's actually truer to say one is the manasikara at each moment and the other are the chetasika manasikara arising with particular cittas.
But that's not how it is said. It is said that the other two are cittas. It seems to me that it is the citta that is itself performing a function similar to manasikara, in that it turns towards the object which has impinged on the ear sense.
Citta cannot perform the chetasika's function.
Correct.
There is the adverting, but only the manasikara can attend to it. Attend to the.
In that case, you would say that calling it panchadwara vajana is a misnomer too.
Just talk about the function of citta.
Right, that's the function
but
of that citta.
From attending to the object of bhavanga, see, as usual, as before, ordinary, it's moment attending to that which is there, change the object of attention.
The manasikara attends to the object, which is the object of citta.
Otherwise,
it's not as though it leads citta to a different object.
Otherwise, how can Panchadvaravachana arise? By many conditions, and that condition one is vitti patipataka manasikara, not manasikara to the Pavanka's object.
We could say viti padipadaka pasa, but is that referring to manasikara? Yes. Viti padipadaka chetana or viti padipadaka
niyama to consider the order of things. So it seems to me that it's in the nature of things that jitta turns towards the object, rather than saying it's the manasikara in the jitta which alerts the jitta to the object. But anyway, it's only a matter of words, but we all understand.
Well, it's like when we say it's the object that pasa contacts, that seeing sees, but they arise together, they all condition each other. So the manasikara attends to the object that pasa contacts it, the sanya remembers it.
I
see John's point. It's like the role of that citta, that Panchadvaravachana citta is very important in like what objects is going to be experienced, because it turns to that very object. But because the object has been impinged.
Because it's a visible object that's impinged on the eye sense, so it cannot avert to sound, for example. So it actually depends on the rupa that is impinged on the sense space that it adverts to.
Because of that,
those rupas that have arisen already. And Ajahn made a comment in Vietnam adverts to them because karma is ready for that seeing to follow immediately afterwards. So it adverts to that object ready for the seeing or the hearing to experience that object that has impinged on the sense space. So the citta, the adverting, all it does is just advert or experience the object which is no longer the object of the Bhavanga jitas, but the one that has impinged.
It's the main factor, actually.
Okay. When I say manasikara and viti patipataka manasikara, would you understand the difference? Different moment?
Yeah, different moment.
It does mean any other moment, but it's moment when it conditioned Panchadvaravachana to advert to the object.
It shows even more the anatomist.
And it shows each time it's actually just referring to the chaitasika, but it's the one with that particular, it's like the one that belongs to that citta, that conditions that citta. So that's much clearer. And did you find anything more about the seven
Satsadhanas? Most of the text that I found related to that mentioned it's talked about in the sutta, in the Anguttara Nikaya, and the name of the sutta is the fortress. The fortress. And it listed the seven sadhana. The first one is the conviction regarding, it's mentioned in the context about the Arya.
The truth.
Of course, it's to be understood.
And how come?
From this moment?
From moment to moment. And this is part of me.
But it's not including Sattara.
It's the first one.
The first one.
The first one.
Yes, that's why there's confusion, the satta and the sadda, because the first one is sadda. Yeah. The conviction in the Tathagata's awakening. Yes.
He said enough,
on and on.
Only seven, and the number and the name.
Yes.
Not understanding, it's now, at moment of hearing, considering, manasikara.
Yes, there can be a lot of clinging to numbers and
words,
names and details and totally forgetting about understanding.
Yeah.
Sadda now, Maria now.
So when we turn our head, when we turn our head to look, actually that's already after manasikara, it's more like vitakara.
See, manasikara arises with each citta. With each,
right.
Even at moment of experience Nibbana.
And leading to the object.
Any moment.
That's already
any moment. It's there.
It's there. I mean, it's
is
more
there any
obvious,
moment.
More prominent.
Is there any moment without citta?
Right.
No.
But it's the foot of the world.
No.
That's why I was thinking about vitakkha when we turn around to look
that's
at the
right.
object.
That's why Buddha thought about each moment. Not whether it is moment of Bhavanka. Can that be changed or turned away?
That does not take out the...
Even when manasikara arises with each moment, it's talked about by different ways. At moment of Bhavanka, manasikara is there by way of vipaka.
Right.
The karma conditioning to manasikara, to the object, which does not appear at all, but it's there, citta and cittasikas. Perform that function by way of being just result to perform that function, just the result to arise to perform, not the cause. That's why we many moments of just do this slowly.
Countless cheetahs, seeing, thinking, hearing, thinking, seeing, countless manasikara. Attending to the object at each of those moments.
It's not you who is now attending.
It's like, it's vipaka first, sure. It's like we feel someone looking from behind. Even though we don't know, right? We feel there's someone looking and then we turn around to check. So the vipaka happened first, and the Gaya Vijnana first.
Each moment is not known as it is. That's why we learn to understand that each moment is different. The moment of turning is not the moment of experiencing the unknown object, Bhavanka at all. So from moment of Bhavanka, what goes on little by little, moment to moment? How many moments are now? How many people in this room? See? Each moment and countable. That's why we learn to begin to understand what is there is not I, anatta, all dhammas are anatta. Until only one reality appears to be firm confident that it's not I at all, because it's hard or it's sound only. How can it be anyone? Or anything.
And when we talk about sensing someone behind, isn't it just countless moments of thinking, maybe visible object seen, and then many
but
moments of
thinking? Before that, there are reasons for this thinking.
That's why, as the Panchadvara Vajana, it has to be seeing, no other moment. It's not just know someone is there, not know who's there.
There are vipaka first, one of the vipaka first. Right?
Seeing what is seen, and then countless thinking, seeing, thinking.
Right.
And how many moments vitaka arises with citta? See, beyond anyone's expectation. Is now, vitaka is known, even is there. Right, citta, is it known? But is there now? Otherwise, dhamma is not so certain. It takes quite a long time to develop right understanding and the support condition, the parami, to begin to understand. And at moment of understanding, it let go by itself, by understanding.
And are there also times when we think someone is watching us from behind? And we turn around and there isn't anyone.
And moment of thinking, someone
just
is
in the mind of the
At moment of thinking, someone is behind. What do you think? Before that?
There has to be vipaka. Well, there could be some sound heard.
Okay, just a moment. Thinking that someone is behind. What citta is there?
The moment of thinking someone is behind. Thinking, that's we're talking about the mind door.
And what arises before thinking?
What? You mean the babanga in between the vitti citta?
And what just arises before thinking?
The virgin.
What? Manasikara?
Yeah.
What kind of manasikara? There are three kinds of manasikara. Yeah, yeah.
That's the vitti.
So the one that arises with the citta just immediately before the kusala and akusala cittas that follow, and also the vortipanna before the kusala and akusala cittas in the sense or process.
Awesome. Okay.
So in some cases misattending then.
Right. Or that's a being we cannot see.
So now, what arises before seeing?
You mean the citta or the manasikara, patipatti citta, or the patipatika manasikara, vitti patipatika manasikara?
Can seeing arise after cawana patipatika manasikara?
Can seeing arise after?
Before
the question is though, can it arise after?
After.
That's the question
uh-huh.
being asked.
In general, no.
Not when it's not general. What about not general?
Well, for example, there's a loud sound that can interrupt a regular.
That's thinking, right? But we talk about moment of citta arising by conditions. It cannot be changed. Without such and such condition, it cannot arise at all.
Right, but when a really loud sound, a thunder, just
you
so many people are at different stages.
You use the word arouse. What does it mean? What citta is there? We talk about citta in order to understand any moment, whether it's aroused in our understanding or not. What is it? The ultimate truth. No one there at all.
Right.
It has to be by condition. Mm-hmm. So what condition citta before thinking to be? What citta arise before thinking?
We just mentioned about the javana, patipatika, manasikara.
Or manodvara vachana,
right,
or matapana,
right.
Depending on the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No one, this is the way to let go. The idea of sound.
Mm-hmm.
So little by little, at moment of understanding, no other way at all, only
mm-hmm.
way. The air propels. Is there, is Manasikara one of the air propels?
No.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's why not just remember, it's not that, but why and how. and what is the reality at that moment? Is it there at the moment of April Path?
It's there, right.
Yes.
But yeah, it's interesting. The Yoniso Manasikara is one of the four factors of the enlightenment. The Yoniso Manasikara is one of the four factors. But Samasankappa is the one of the eight past factors. Right.
So is it Manasikara?
No, Sankappa, no. But it's there, Manasikara is there.
But
not a past factor. Right. Right. But it is the Yoniso Manasikara, which is where understanding
arises. Before Lokutra Citta or any citta.
Right.
As we teach it to have different names from Aramana Patipataka.
So you said the Yoniso Manasikara is part of the four factors of stream entry, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But I think because Manasikara arises with every citta, so what is really mentioned is the understanding.
Oh yeah, that's the particularly referred to the wise reflection.
Yeah. Panya. And these are good examples of how whatever we read in the suttas, it's about dhammas, because the friend, when he mentioned about the sadhammas, was talking about, said it's about seven people, but actually it's just about these different dhammas. Sada and Sati and Virya and so on. So that's why each word, each term has to be considered so carefully. Otherwise, it's very easy to go wrong or to just think, oh, there's wise attention when one considers a book or there's Manasikara when turning the head, but actually one citta at a time. So Manasikara, each of those moments while turning the head, moments of seeing, moments of thinking, moments of hearing at each moment. Otherwise we just get stuck in the conventional idea again. So are we now talking about the seven sadhammas? Or not yet? Is on that?
We are, because by understanding a little more, understanding, reflecting about the different dhammas in life now, this sadha is there at those moments, virya is there, sati is there at those moments of understanding. And when there's confusion and we're lost in the terms and the details, then none of those seven dhammas are there. So it's now at the moments of understanding, hiri otapa, daily life.
So is this moment clean?
As a moment, my understanding is clean.
Can it be clean at any moment without?
Yes, another kusala.
What about any pandaracitta?
Yeah.
Is it clean at any moment at all?
So what is Manasikara arising with seeing?
Vipaka.
Manasikara.
Yes.
Aramana. Patipadaka. Manasikara.
Yes. Not wise attention.
No. Yes.
When it's wrong, not thinking about the question. That's why I begin to understand from the very beginning whether it's wise or unwise. More subtle and more subtle. Or not careful.
Not careful, yes.
The word patipataka means foothold or make way.
Well, the pati, Ajahn was mentioning, is the same as in patipati. So pati and patipati is the particular patipati. The second pati is reach the particular. So this is the same particular pati, the particular object. So
And what is the Patipata of understanding? More careful and more careful.
In the Patipadaka, so the Pati, the particular, I was told before the Padaka refers to being the foot, being the one preceding the Javana Chitas or at the start of the sense door process. But do you have a different understanding of Padaka? So Pati particular and the Pada,
the path.
The path.
Pati is particular and Pata is the path to.
This is
Padaka. No, we're talking about Patipadaka as in Viti Patipadaka Manasikara.
The Manasikara is the foundation of the foot.
The foot, yes. The foot out the particular chitta, which is the foot padaka. What I said in Vietnam is correct.
Also, what I heard long time ago.
Even if one has heard and considered, we have to keep considering because sometimes we learn something different, a slightly different meaning. So one has to consider deeper and deeper. And for all of us, including Ajahn, the understanding develops and some more subtle meanings become apparent, and so it's like one has to keep considering, checking, looking in the text, and it all has to come together and make sense. I think that's very helpful, Jan.
Thank you very much.